The following audio is presented by Grace Church. For more about us, visit discovergrace.com, or you can download our free app by searching Grace Church Orlando on your phone or tablet. Now, we hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, Grace, Pastor Grant here. I am so glad to be back with you. You know, this is the second week we've been able to gather in person, and we have loved seeing everybody that has come back. But I am grateful to God that he has given us an opportunity to meet online. For those of you who it's just not wise for you and your family to return yet, we can't wait for the day when you do return. But until then, we are super grateful to meet with you in this way. Now, Pastor Mike kicked us off last week with a new series called Fighting for Happiness, Wisdom for Your Everyday Life. And in it, he talked about the two most important, or he's going to talk about in this passage, the two most important relationships in our lives and in our families. Last week, Pastor Mike started off talking about the idea of husband and wife, right? As one of the most important relationships, and how we are to fight for happiness there and how we're to walk in wisdom in those relationships. Well, this week, Paul is going to pick up talking about probably the second most important relationship within the Christian family, which is between parents and children. So we're going to be there in Ephesians chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn there or you can follow along with us. We're going to put it right up here on the screen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, it's clear here that Paul immediately talks to the one under authority, to the child first. And so if you are a child under the household authority of your parents, you're living under their authority, then what God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to obey. The best thing that you can do. The scripture says here that for this is right, for this is the right thing to do, right? We obey because this is how God has created us to operate in this family. This is what a spirit-filled family looks like. Children obey their parents, for this is right. The second thing that we see is that it's connected to reward. That if you want to live a life, you're a child under your parents' authority, the best thing you can do is obey to place yourself in a place for God to bless you. But what I want to focus in on is this word over here, honor your father and mother. And so I want to talk to the grown children right now. I want to talk to the grown children. Not only do I want to talk to the grown children, I want to talk to the teenagers as well. I'm going to put you in that category as well. So teens, can I talk to you for a minute? Hang on, let me get there. Sup. TikTok, slang, lit, fam. All right, now that I've got your attention, you absolutely still must obey your parents as you live under their authority in their household. However, I think now you've reached a place in your life where you are intellectually mature enough to understand the complexity of adding honor to that relationship as well. What does that look like? And so I want you to join the conversation that we're having, that those who are no longer under the authority of their parents, those who are grown are having, about what honor looks like, because I think there's a lot for you to learn, as there's a lot for me to learn, as what it means to honor our father and our mother. And when I think about honor, there's a lot of different directions we could go with it, but let me put it really simply, and here it is. Honor is careful. Honor is careful. Now, the church that I came from before I came to Grace was an older congregation. I did a lot of funerals. I've done a ton of weddings. I've done way more funerals. It would not be an odd year for me to do at least one funeral a month, even in a year that's not called 2020, all right? Like, it was not odd for me to do at least one funeral a month. And I'll tell you, I've been to a lot of funeral homes. I've seen a lot of funeral directors. And one of the things that I see them do over and over again with the deceased is be very, very careful. If you have been to a funeral, you've seen it as well, right? They place the body in a casket that looks like it has like lower lumbar support. All right, like it's got pillows in it, it's all embroidered and whatever, and they place them in there very carefully. When they close the casket, they close it very carefully, right? And so they deal with it with this carefulness about the way they handle it. I have done a lot of funerals. I've been to a lot of funeral homes. I've never seen the opposite, all right? I've never seen a funeral director come out with grandma over his shoulder and be like, where do you want me to lay down the old gal, right? Like, I've never seen that before because it's not careful. You know why? Because it doesn't honor them. Like, we're careful in a way to honor them, right? And another way to think about this honor is careful is this one word, reverence, right? Reverence. That's another way to think about it. It's another way to think about honor being careful is reverence. And so when we come to our parents, when we come to the position of father or mother that God has placed them in, we are to honor that position. We are to honor them in that position. We are to show reverence. We are to be careful. And that might be hard for you to hear because I don't know exactly what your relationship with your parents has been like or is like, but that is the call that we have on our lives now. Now, sometimes that is easy. When we have a healthy relationship with our parents, that's an easy thing to do, to honor, to be careful, to revere, right? I think about just this past week, Bill Gates lost his father and he tweeted out this tribute to his father. And in it, he said, I aspire to be you, and I will miss you every day. That's honor, that's reverence, that's respect. It seems like that was easy for him to write, which would tell me and tell you that maybe his father was a great father. It was probably easy for him to show honor because he was a great father to him. But what about when it's not easy? What about when we have a mother who constantly crosses boundaries that are inappropriate? What if we have parents who are constantly, they're so needy, they're constantly taking from our family unit and from what we're trying to give to our family? What if we have a parent who acts dishonorably? Well, the call is the same. The call is for us to honor them. And I think the best way we can do that is to be careful. It's to be careful. It's to live with a reverence for that position. And so what I mean is, even if it's a difficult relationship, maybe you have to have some difficult conversations. Hey, you've crossed this line. Hey, this isn't okay. Hey, we can't live this way. Then you have that conversation carefully. You have that conversation with reverence. You watch your tone. You're careful with your words, right? Or maybe one of the things you have to do is the most healthy thing you can do is separate from them, right? It's to take some time apart because maybe the relationship is so toxic at this point and they're so toxic and they're bringing so much baggage into it and it's dangerous for you. It's unsafe for your family. And so you have to have some separation there. Well, the way that you even do that with honor. You do that carefully. You do that with reverence. It's not trivial. It's not easy. It's not quick. It's something we do with a lot of thought, with a lot of care, with a lot of consideration, with a lot of honor. We're careful. And the promise that God gives us is the same that he gives to children. It's the same that he gives to the grown children. It's the same that he gives to all of us. Even if we are independent of our parents' household authority now, as we continue to honor them, we still place ourselves in the best place to receive a blessing from God. And so we are called to honor. Well, immediately in this passage, what happens is Paul shifts his focus from children to parents and specifically to fathers. Let's check it out here in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, so I wanna say real quick to those who, as we focus our attention now to parents, to those who don't have children, I wanna encourage you, please don't check out. I need you to hear this. I need you to learn this from the scripture because I need your help, right? We as parents need your help. As we're trying to raise our family to know the Lord, as we're trying to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, we need your help with that. We need you to come alongside. And so I need you to know how to encourage me. I need you to know how to hold me accountable. I need you to know how to see some weaknesses and blind spots that maybe I don't even see in myself as a parent, as I'm trying to do this incredibly important job of bringing up my children in the training and instruction of the Lord. I also need you to learn it because I need you to learn it for their sake. Because as we're raising our family in the community of faith, you have an opportunity to help lead and train my children in the instruction of the Lord. The primary responsibility is still with me, but you have an opportunity because there are gonna be times where they're gonna listen to you when they won't listen to me. There are gonna be times where they're gonna look to you and your example where they won't look to me and to my example. And so I need you. I need you to learn this for me to help us. And I also need you to learn it for my kids so that you will help them and you'll be able to participate in the honor of helping bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I also wanna say something as we transition to talk to fathers, I wanna say something to mothers, whether you're a single mother or whether you're a married mother, I want you to know this does not at all excuse you from responsibility of bringing your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is still a responsibility that you have. And maybe you're in a position where this is you're the only person who will do this. Maybe you're a single mother position or maybe you're in a difficult married situation and you are the one that's going to do this. And I think that's, then do it, all right? I think it's fantastic, do it. But what Paul is talking about here is this is what, in a Christian household, this is the ideal. This is the primary responsibility of fathers. And so if I can talk to fathers for a second, I just want you to think about that for a second. Think about our name. Think about what our kids call us. They call us Father. Now think about how God has primarily chosen to reveal himself and relate to us. He's relating to us as we are the children, and he is what? He is our Father. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, call him Father. Like, that is a primary relationship. And so what a huge responsibility we have, that as fathers, the first thing that our kids are gonna learn about who God the Father is through us, is through our example. The main way that they will first start to learn what the heart of God the Father loves, what the heart of God the Father breaks for, what the heart of God the Father is towards them, is when they look at what we love, when they look at what breaks our heart, when they look at how we are for them or not for them, right? What a huge responsibility. That's why when we look at this passage, it says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I've got four kids, and unfortunately, they look just like me, all right? And I am praying that they had the most amazing transformational, like, puberty, right? Like, that just one day they lay down looking like me, and the next day they wake up looking like Angela. I'm just hoping that happens. Would you join me in prayer for that, right? But even if they look like me, I am not trying to raise little Grants, all right? We don't need any more little Grants around the world. There is one, and I've been told on multiple occasions, it's more than enough, all right? And so I'm not trying to raise them to be little me's, right? I'm trying to raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord, right? That is our call. And by the way, this has been God's plan for the family throughout all of time. Look at Deuteronomy in chapter 6. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Let's keep going. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall teach them diligently to your children. This is how we are to live. We are to bring up our children, not to be little us's, but we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Diligently so. That is our calling. But I want us to go back to verse 4. And I want us to see right here, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So if this is our goal right here, to bring them up, then it would say that when we exasperate them, we are working against that goal. What does that word mean? Like, no one walks around using that word. One, it's not the easiest word to say, but what does it mean? Well, what it literally means is to intensely irritate and frustrate. And so if we're gonna figure out what intensely irritates or frustrates our kids, because we don't wanna do that, then we probably already have insight by thinking about what irritates and frustrates us. Now, I'm not speaking in a general sense, because we all know what irritates and frustrates us in a general sense. Of course, the most frustrating thing is when you're in the checkout line at a store and the person in front of you, they finish their transaction, they get the receipt from the teller, and they decide in that moment that this is the time that they're going to reorganize their wallet and or purse. You know what I'm talking about? They get the receipt and they're like, I need to make sure this is accessible. Oh, can't put it there in my Blockbuster video card, right? And they're doing all of that, and we can't continue our transaction. And I want you to know, if you're the one doing that, that is frustrating and irritating, and you need to repent, all right? I'm calling you to repent right now. Just pause it, just fall to your knees. All right, but anyway, we're not talking about the general idea of what is frustrating, what is irritating. Instead, if we wanna figure out what do we do, how do we lead our kids in a way that frustrates and irritates them, then we need to simply think, what frustrates us about leadership? What lack in leadership frustrates us? And I bet we will find how we continue to frustrate our kids. Let me show you the first one. The first one would be this, a lack of vision, a lack of vision. Now, when I used to work during Christmas break, I'd come home and I would work at Kmart. And if you're not familiar with Kmart, it used to be a big box store. I don't even know if there are Kmarts anymore. Do you guys know if there's a Kmart anymore? Are we in a Kmart? All right, like, I don't know. But anyway, I used to restock things. I used to be a stock boy for the toy section, because that was a big deal around Christmas, right? So I would come in at like 4 a.m. And I would get there, and I had a leader there, and he wasn't a great leader. And you know why he wasn't a great leader, why he frustrated us, why he irritated us, was because he had a lack of vision. And so we would come in and we would start opening all of these boxes of toys. And then he'd go, okay, open all of those. And we'd open them all. And we'd go, now what do we do? And he'd go, you should put them over there. And I'd be like, okay, where? And he goes, just over there. And what happens was the toy section was just an absolute disaster at that Kmart at that year. Probably why Kmart is no longer around, all right? Like, it was an absolute disaster. I'm telling you that Power Rangers were hanging out with Barbies. You had Furbies over here with Optimus Prime. It was an abomination, all right? Truly, Jesus is coming soon. So it was a terrible situation. And people were frustrated. Customers were frustrated. The management was frustrated. We were frustrated because we didn't get it. We're like, what is the vision here? And I think sometimes when we lead our kids, we can have a lack of vision in our leading. And the way that shows up and the way they express it is our kids start to ask us, why? Why? Why are you doing this? Why do I have to do this? Why, right? And what we typically, the way we view it as parents, is we view it as them questioning our authority. And I don't think that's always true. I think sometimes they're asking why because they're looking for a vision. They need to see the vision. Why? And a lot of times we get frustrated with them and we answer with, because I said so. Which, like, parents, can we just admit, that feels so good, right? Like, it just feels so, it's like scratching that one spot in the middle of your back. It feels so good just to be like, because I said so. But it's poor leadership because what they're looking for, they're not trying to question your authority. They're trying to find a vision. And so why do we do that? Why do I do that most often when I lead my kids? Is sometimes I lead with a lack of vision. Why is that? And I think it's because a lot of times I'm behavior oriented, right? I'm behavior oriented. And what I mean by that is I focus so much on what they do. Because you know why? Like, as a parent, I feel like my responsibility is to keep them out of jail. Like, I feel like that's a huge part of my responsibility is that they don't go to jail, that I don't stand on the front lawn with a news crew and go, I don't know, he's always a good kid at home. Like, I feel like that's a huge part of my responsibility is what they do. But the reality is they are so much more than what they do. They are a soul to inspire, right? They are more than what they do. They are a soul to inspire. And that's the calling of bringing them up in the instruction and the training of the Lord. When you think about following God, when you think about yourself being brought up in the instruction of the Lord, when you think about yourself being trained in the Lord, right? It's more than just don't do this or do this, right? It's painting a more beautiful picture, right? It's painting a more beautiful story. It's giving you a vision. Like it's not God just saying, I don't want you to do this. He's saying, I don't want you to do this because I want you to have more of me. I want you to achieve these things. I want you to participate in the story that I'm writing in your life. And our kids are looking for that vision. And it's up to us if we're gonna bring them up in the training of the Lord. It's not just be completely behavioral centered, but instead to tell them a better story, to cast a vision for them in front of them. I'll give you an example. My son, Max, one of the things I love about him, he's incredibly intelligent. Not only is he incredibly intelligent, he's incredibly quick-witted. And it might be my favorite thing about him, right? Which makes him really funny and also really frustrating at times. But one of the things he's discovering, his little young mind is working out, is that he thinks so quickly that not everyone else thinks that quickly. And he thinks so quickly that he is sometimes a step ahead of people. And one of the things he's figuring out is he can use that to his advantage. Another word, a less nice word, might be manipulate, right? And so there are times where he does that. And there was this one time where he was trying to manipulate me, right? He was being dishonest because he thought he was a step ahead of me. And that day he wasn't. Now, most days he probably is, but on that day he was not a step ahead of me. And so I had to deal with that behavior, absolutely. I had to sit him down and deal with, like, this is dishonest, this is selfish, right? Like, this is not okay, this hurts our relationship, right? Like, I had to do that. But on the other side of it, I wanted to cast vision. So I sat down with him and I said, Max, you are so smart and you're so quick-witted. Do you know why? Because God gave you that. That's a gift from him. And there's so much you could do with that. There's so much he wants you to do with that. He could make you a great leader because you have influence over people. He could make you a leader who protects. He could make you a leader who provides for people. He could make you a leader who guides people. What an incredible future you could have. But son, you have a choice. You can either follow that vision, or you can be selfish and you can use it for yourself. And I'm telling you, son, that's a lonely path. That's a lonely direction to go. Again, I'm dealing with his behavior, but I'm trying to cast that vision because that's what he's looking for. I have a friend of mine at the campus recently who was talking to me about his own daughter who's having behavioral issues. And he said this beautiful thing and he was talking about vision. And I don't even know if he knew that he was saying this to me, but he said, You know what she needs right now? And I was expecting him to say, she needs to stop doing this. She needs to start doing this, right? Like we need to get her a new study to kind of figure out how the way she thinks or whatever. I don't know, something about behavior. But instead, you know what he said? She needs to spend more time with me. And what he meant by that was not that he's going to punish her more, not that he can come down harder on her more, but instead he was saying, I want her to spend time with me because I need to help her understand what's going on in her heart and mind. I need to help her understand about the direction that her life is heading. What was he saying? I want to cast vision for her. I want to give her a vision. That's good leadership. That's how we bring our kids up in the training instruction of the Lord. We put the vision of the Lord in front of them. The second reason, though, why I think sometimes we get frustrated in leadership and our kids can be frustrated by our leadership is a lack of consideration, a lack of consideration. And we've all been there. You've been there and I've been there where you've had a leader who just didn't think about you. Maybe you got left out on an email you're supposed to get. Maybe it was a last minute deadline. You're packing up, it's Friday, you're ready to leave, and your manager or boss comes over and goes, I need this before you leave, right? And you're like, I've been mentally checked out since Thursday, right? But they're just like, do it anyway. You know, sometimes we live at such a breakneck pace that we're just dragging our kids along without any real consideration about who they are, what they are, and what they need, right? And so when I think about sometimes the way I feel my kids in leading with a lack of consideration, like, why do I do that? One of the reasons why is because I think I'm not meeting them where they are. I'm just not meeting them where they are. And here's what I mean by that. I believe in my kids, just like I hope you believe in your kids. And I see their potential. And so I have this like idealized version of who they are. And it's a standard I set. And I'm calling them to that all the time. But you know what this idealized version does not allow? It does not allow them to be humans. It doesn't take into account their faults. It doesn't take into account the situation, the environment. It doesn't take into account that they're just kids. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't think about them. It doesn't consider them enough. And I think about, why do I do that? Why do I hold this expectation that's unfair to them? Why do I keep elevating that? And it actually points to something more nefarious and darker in my heart than I really want to admit. And maybe you'll see this in yourself too, is that sometimes my whole identity of being a good person or a successful person in this life is wrapped up in who I am as a parent, is being a good parent and being a successful parent. And the danger of that, one, is it's not true, right? My identity is wrapped up in who Jesus says I am. But the second danger in that is that I've now connected my child's performance to my identity. And so now I'm calling them to a standard that's not at all about them. It's not considering where they are and what they need. I'm calling them to a standard of what I need to feel better, what I need to feel more successful, what I need to feel like a good parent. That's not how God leads us, and that's not how we're to lead them. Like, God doesn't lead us like that. He meets us exactly where we are. When you go to the New Testament and you see how Jesus leads people in the New Testament, where he meets them where they are. And he doesn't expect them to speak a language they don't speak. He doesn't expect them to understand an experience they haven't had. He speaks to them where they are. He considers their scars. He considers their baggage. He considers everything about them. He considers the beautiful things about them, and he considers the marred things about them. He puts them all together, right? It's complete consideration. And so we're to meet our kids in the same way. We're to meet them exactly where they are. And that's one of the ways that we need to think about leading our kids. If we're going to lead our kids in the training and instruction of the Lord, we need to lead them in the same way that the Lord leads us, which is with consideration. So if your kid is more emotional than you, meet them in their emotions. If your kid struggles with dealing with anger because they don't know how to process that, meet them in their anger, right? With grace. Don't meet anger for anger. Don't be surprised by it. Meet them where they are with grace, right? Understanding where they are. That's consideration, and that's good leadership. So our third and final lack of leadership that can frustrate us and frustrate our kids as we try to lead them in the training and instruction of the Lord, it's a lack of consistency, a lack of consistency. When I was in college, I used to work for Sears, and I was an appliance salesperson, and I had a manager who was not a great leader. And he wasn't a great leader. It wasn't because he was a bad person. It wasn't because he was unhappy at Sears or anything like that. Instead, it's because there was a lack of consistency. He just wasn't consistent. And what I mean by that is when I was at Sears, we used to, when you would sell a refrigerator, we would sell something with it called a protection agreement. Now, you've probably all experienced this. You budgeted out that you're going to spend $700 on a refrigerator. You go in, you pick it out, you get to the register, and they go, hey, by the way, did you know that for an additional $200, we'll come out to your house and vacuum the coils once a year? And you're like, I don't even know what coils are, like what is this or whatever. And you probably didn't buy it because you thought it was a scam. And as someone who used to sell them to people, I'll tell you this, it was a scam. So he used to set up these goals for us, these sales goals, where we had to sell these protection agreements. And he was so inconsistent. There were times we'd make the goal and he'd come out and he'd celebrate us. Oh, you guys are the best team ever. And you're the best salespeople ever. And look at all those suckers. No, I'm just kidding. But he would like celebrate those things with us. But there were times we would hit those goals and I'd be like, hey man, check it out. I hit the goal. And he's like, do you want me to celebrate you just for doing your job? Why don't you hit two goals today? Why don't you hit three goals today? And it was a terrible way to lead because I never knew where I stood. You know, when I think about the way that we lead our kids, I think a lot of times we can lead them with a lack of consistency as well, where our kids start to ask the question of, well, why this and not that? Why'd you get upset about this and not that? Why are you pushing this hard on me now, not before? Like, and what we can create is a terrain of just hidden mines for them, like landmines, and they don't know when what's going to explode and what's not. It provides an opportunity for them to not feel safe. It creates an environment where they don't feel safe, and so they're going to be frustrated. They're going to be irritated because they don't get it. It's not going to fit with the vision you were trying to give them. It's not going to fit with the consideration you were trying to have, right? And so when I start to think, why do sometimes I lead with a lack of consistency with my kids? And I think the first reason why is training is a process, not an event. It's a process, not an event. We are training in the instruction of the Lord, training in the instruction of the Lord. When you think about that, sometimes we treat that training as an event. Like our kids, maybe they exhibit some sort of behavior that you correct and you're trying to redirect and you're trying to guide them. So you have that conversation. You guide them, whatever. Maybe you even like, you they're grounded for a week and they won't forget this time and all this other stuff. And you go, okay, it's done. It's an event. It's over. I've taught that to them. They know it. It's there. And then what happens? They repeat it. Why? Because they're human beings and training is a process. But because we viewed it as an event, we do one of two things. We either blow up and we go, I have told you this 30 times, or we do nothing and we say, I've told you this 30 times. It's not going to change. What's the point, right? And where's the failure of leadership there? We have failed to view this as a process, this training as a process instead of an event. Because you know what's crazy is like our own growth as Christians, our own growth in the training and in the knowledge of the Lord, all of that, the instruction of the Lord, it's a process. Like the Lord regularly repeats things to me. I am learning over and over and over again. From my earliest memories until now, I am learning all the time that I can trust him to provide for me. And I have to keep learning it because he will provide and give us a gift and we will celebrate and we will worship and we'll share that testimony. And then boom, another need shows up and I'm like, what are we gonna do, right? And he has to regularly teach us that. And one of the things about him, he's so kind and he's such a great father, is that he treats me like it's a process, because it is. It's a process that he will bring to completion one day in the day of Jesus Christ. And so until then, he treats it as a process. We need to do the same thing with our kids. I think the second reason why sometimes we lead with the lack of consistency for them requires consistency for ourselves. If we're going to be consistently leading them, we need to be consistently leading ourselves. In other words, if we are going to consistently bear their burdens, then we need to be consistently resting in the Lord so that we can do that. If we want to consistently show them grace and mercy, then we need to be consistently experiencing the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus. If we want to consistently instill in them hearts of gratitude, which is a huge goal of mine as a parent, I know it's probably yours as well, then I need to consistently be working out a heart of gratitude towards the Lord. If we're going to lead them consistently, then we need to lead ourselves consistently. You know, everything that we've talked about today, there's just so many big ideas here. There's so many things here. And so I want to, like, a final message to parents here is that there's grace for you and there's grace for me as a parent. I don't know if you've been listening to this whole thing with your back is tensed up and your shoulders are up and you're just like, oh, I don't do that. I am inconsistent. Oh, sometimes I'm not considered. Oh, I don't know if I've ever put a vision in front of my kids. And you're just tense like this. Like, our God is so kind. He's so gracious. He gave you those children. He entrusted you with those children. He entrusted you with that precious gift. He believes in you and he's with you and he's gonna work these things out. So relax. And would you just accept grace for yourself today? And you know, I actually wanna challenge you too, if you're watching this, is I would love for you to reach out to a parent this week and encourage them. It doesn't have to be your parent. I mean, seriously, maybe it's another parent in the church, maybe it's a friend of yours. I want you to reach out to them and encourage them. Would you extend some sort of encouragement? Because they need it. They need that grace. Because I can guarantee you, I don't care if you watch this on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or the rest of the days. You thought for a second I was going to go through all of them. I did too. But I don't care what day you watch this. I don't care what time of day it is. I'm telling you, that day, I have felt like a failure as a parent. I bet I have. And I bet you have too. Whatever day it is, I bet there's a moment in that day where you've been like, I don't know if I've been enough for them. I don't know if I've led them well today. And so if you have an opportunity to encourage a parent this week, do it. Would you reach out to them? Just maybe share a testimony. Hey, I've learned so much from listening to the way that you speak to your kids. I've learned so much from the way that you've dealt with this problem in your family. I've learned so much. You're just such a great dad. I think you're such an admirable mother. I love all of these things about you, right? Like just encourage them this week. And you know, I'd like to close our time today by speaking to one more category of parent that maybe this whole thing has been really hard for you to sit through. And it's the parent who has a grown child who has either walked away from the Lord or maybe even walked away from you. And that relationship is broken. And I know that's painful. And I don't know that pain. But the Father does. Do you know why the Father does? Because his family is made up of rebels. His family is made up of enemies. That's who we used to be. And he brought us into his family. And can I tell you, as one of his sons, I run away from him all the time. I push back on his blessing and run headlong into pain over and over again. And he's like, here's wisdom, here's blessing for you. And I just keep running into obstacle. I keep running just headlong into the wall over and over again. And he watches me and he waits for me to return, right? That's gotta be painful for him. But even more so, I know he knows your pain because he put his son on a cross and he poured out his wrath on him for us. And he watched him suffer and die. He knows your pain and he'll comfort you and he's with you. And you might say, but I don't even know what to do anymore. Can we take a quick lesson from the father and the prodigal son? The son leaves, the father can't guide him anymore because he won't listen to the father. But you know what the father provided? A safe place for the son to return home to. When the son finally came home, what did the father do? He was safe. He gave him grace. He gave him mercy. I don't know if when your child finally comes home, I don't know if it'll be forever. I don't know if the brokenness they bring with them will pull them right back out. But whether they come home once or whether they come home 100 times, may you be that safe space for them. May you be that safe harbor. May you be that place of grace and mercy every single time, just like our Father is for us. One last thing you can do, and we'll do with you, is you can watch and you can pray. And we will watch with you and we will pray with you. I would encourage you to share that. Share that burden with your brothers and sisters. Let us bear that burden with you. And in fact, I'd like to close our time right now praying for you and praying for that burden. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for your love for us. We are so grateful that you are the perfect Father to us. And Father, I am so grateful that so many times, even though I have run so far and I've pushed so hard against the good things you're trying to do in my life, you still remain a safe place for me to return home to. Every time I come to you, I find help, I find mercy, I find grace. And so, Father, I know that there are people listening now, parents who are listening now, who are hurting over their children, who are doing the exact same thing. They're pushing against every piece of blessing they're trying to give their child. They're pushing against every piece of wisdom they're trying to give their child. They're running and running and running. Father, would you comfort them in a way that only you can, only a father who knows can? And would you help them be that type of person that they will be the safe place to return to? They will be the home full of grace. They will be the home full of mercy. And Father, would you gift them and gift all of us as parents with the faith to trust you, in this process that our kids are in. We know they belong to you. They don't belong to us ultimately. They belong to you. And we know that you love them far more than we could possibly imagine. And so, Father, we'll rest in that now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.